What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Happy Friday. Today is Friday, September 20th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And today is the final day of Eagles practice before they take off to go to New Orleans to play the Saints on Sunday, a game that me and James have talked about at length. We know is going to be a tough game, could be a bad loss, or it could be a win that ends up turning the season around off of that loss coming off the Falcons. So what is there to keep an eye out for today? Well, Nick Sirianni will have his final press conference before the game at 11:25, and it's an important press conference after there was an unexpected player hopped up on the injury report from Thursday's practice. Look, we know Nick is not going to give a ton of updates on him, but you never know. He could talk about AJ, talk about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So Nick Sirianni, 11:25. Press conference, final one before the Saints game. At 12:25, practice begins. That'll give us a chance to see if AJ's out there, if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is out there, which we'll talk about in a second. In case you're wondering why we're talking about Chauncey, 1 second, we'll give you an update on that. And then 1:45, the locker room opens for the final time this week. Another chance to talk to players. So there'll be some quotes and videos coming out of there. So 11:25 Nick, 12:25 practice, 1:45 locker room begins. So the big news for the Eagles today that you need to know is that at Thursday's practice, safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was not there. Reporters noticed, including me, the weird way to phrase it, that at the beginning of practice, Chauncey wasn't there. AJ was kind of the big story going in. Would he be there? He was not there either. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, after practice, on the injury report with a foot injury, listed as did not practice. So the injury report was AJ not practicing, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson not practicing, and Johnny Wilson not practicing. Now, I think there's a good chance Johnny Wilson does play. He was in the locker room. This seems mostly like they're being precautionary throughout the week with him. I think you'll see Johnny Wilson play. I don't think you'll see AJ Brown play. I think he's going to be out on Sunday against the Saints. It wouldn't completely shock me if they just straight up listed him out on Friday's injury report, ending any speculation he might go to New Orleans or anything like that. So I would not expect to see AJ Brown out there. Obviously a big loss for the team. We saw how much they missed him on offense this past week. And we've seen in general when AJ's not played how much they miss him. But the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson foot injury is new, much like the AJ injury leading up to the Falcons game suffered. He appears to have suffered it during practice. He was not on the injury report Wednesday, so it's possible it happened on Wednesday. He continued practice, came in the facility Thursday, wasn't feeling well, which, is a good sign. Like, AJ left practice when he was injured. He was listed as limited. So clearly when he suffered his injury, he had to stop practicing. That was not the case with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It appears, at least, he continued throughout practice Wednesday. And then on Thursday is when the injury popped up and he didn't practice. So will Chauncey play on Sunday? I think at this point, obviously, it's questionable. I wouldn't say he's definitely not playing, but he's clearly, after missing a full day of practice with a foot injury, Friday will be a big day to see if he's able to play. For him personally, I'm sure he really wants to play in this game against his former team. I actually did a guest spot on a Saints podcast, and they brought up an interesting fact that since Chauncey was traded from the Saints, he missed the first game, Eagles versus Saints, due to an injury in 2022. In 2023, as a member of the Lions, he missed the Lions game against the Saints with an injury. And now it appears there is a shot he will miss the third straight year his team will play the Saints, and he won't play. So that Chauncey revenge game does not seem to be in the cards. Every time it gets close, he doesn't play. But it's not a lock he won't play. So let's talk about if he doesn't play, what they could do. And they really have three options. The first two options include moving Avante Maddox to safety. Maddox took a lot of reps there during training camp at safety. He's played it in a game before. He's probably their top backup at safety. Obviously, he's been playing nickel these first two games, so hasn't taken reps there in practice in a little bit, but he would, I would think, be their top option to go in and play safety if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson doesn't play. So if you move Maddox to safety, Then you have two options. You can put Quinyon on the inside to nickel, start Isaiah Rodgers on the outside. So kind of go with, you know, what you planned on going with before Isaiah Rodgers broke his hand, where Quinyon and Slay are the two corners when they only have two corners on the field. When they have three corners, you move Quinyon to the inside, you put Isaiah Rodgers out there, and you have Avante Maddox at safety next to Reed Blankenship. That is one option. The other option is, you move Avante Maddox to safety, you put Cooper DeJean at nickel, and you keep Quinyon out on the outside. I'm guessing that's what they're going to do. Vic Fangio called Cooper the backup nickel during his press conference this week. I think they really want to keep Quinyon on the outside. He's played well on the outside. He's a first-round pick. You want him to play his natural position where he's going to play his career at. So I think they'll more than likely, if Chauncey doesn't play, keep Quinyon on the outside and just start Cooper at nickel. And frankly, against a Saints team that likes to run it a ton, Cooper in that role might actually be good. He could be an upgrade over Avante there. The other option, and it's not one I think they'll go with, but they could just start Tristan McCollum at safety. You go Tristan McCollum at safety next to Reed Blankenship, and you keep everything else the same. Avante Maddox is the nickel, Quinyon's on the outside opposite Slay, and Cooper remains the backup nickel. I don't think that's the route they'll go, but one thing we have seen with Vic Fangio, if he doesn't feel a player is ready, that player will not play. Devin White, healthy scratch. Bryce Huff didn't play a lot in week one. And Cooper has not been out there yet, right? So I think they will probably move Avante to safety, but it would not shock me if Tristan McCollum gets a start because they don't think Cooper's ready. And by they, I mean Vic. And Avante stays at nickel. I think there is a real possibility that happens. Again, my guess would be that they move Avante, but I don't think it's like 100%. I think there is a world where if they don't think Cooper's ready, they will just keep Avante there. So maybe Chauncey plays, maybe nothing changes, but they will definitely start working on contingency plans because even if Chauncey does play and start the game on Sunday, it certainly doesn't mean he will finish the game. So that is the big injury news coming out of Thursday's practice that you should keep an eye on this Friday. You know, make sure you're checking Twitter for all the updates to see what's going on. So a few other things I want to talk about from practice on Thursday. So Vic Fangio spoke, and he had a few things to say. Vic Fangio talked about, I thought this was an interesting question. So he was basically asked about how Zach Bond's never played the position before. Like, they have young players on the defense. And he was essentially asked, you know, do you have the talent to get it done? And here's what he said.
Yeah, I don't think it's as cut and dry as that. You can be young and still play good, you know, mentally and physically. You know, there's been a lot of guys that do that. Are we still in the process of learning how to do everything? Probably. You know, doing it at a high level of proficiency, especially when the game's on the line. But yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, so I will say this. Like, Fangio, I will repeatedly throughout the press conference said he had to be better. He had to be better. But an overarching take I had from watching him and being there and listening to him, I don't think he thinks his players are good enough right now. I don't think he thinks Devin White's good enough. I definitely don't think he thinks Bryce Huff's good enough. I don't think he views Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, like any of these. Honestly, outside of Quinyon and the secondary guys, I don't think he's very impressed with the players he has on defense. Doesn't mean he's blaming them. I don't get the sense that he feels he's loaded on defense. I mean, prior to the season, he said he thought it would take some time. Now he's talking about, you know, players having to learn their position still going into week three. It just doesn't feel like Vic Fangio thinks he's been given the players to have a great defense. Doesn't mean they can't develop into those players. And again, he took responsibility. But I didn't leave that press conference feeling like Vic's super impressed with the talent he has on the defensive side of the ball. And another reason to feel this way is because Fangio was asked about Bryce Huff and kind of where he's at, what he needs to do, and here's what he had to say.
What have you seen out of him to this point? What's your evaluation?
He's still learning how to play, you know, the total game and not just rush situations, but he's working hard at it, and we're going to stick with him.
So I have a couple thoughts on this. One, there is a world where this is good for Bryce Huff. Fangio teaches him for a month, he becomes a better player, and for the next 3 years, he's a better player than he was if he didn't have Vic doing this. On the other hand, like, what are we doing here? This is not preseason. This is not, you know, like, I get you're trying to teach Bryce Huff, and again, Bryce Huff didn't play well, but maybe Vic's not using him in the best way. Now, what hurts that argument is Bryce has not looked good straight rushing. So, like, this is not a defense of Bryce, trust me. But I do wonder if Vic has put too much on his plate. Bryce is with a new team in a new situation, and he's being asked to learn a new role. Like, if he was still on the Jets and just stayed, I bet you he'd be rushing better than he is with the Eagles. Because it seems to me like he's has a ton on his plate. He's learning all these new things. And that has to impact it, the way he's rushing. It's like in any job. If you're really good at one thing, but you're being taught 15 other things, naturally, you will suffer at the thing you're really good at because you have so much on your plate and you're thinking of all these things. And, like, maybe your confidence is shaken. So it just feels like Vic hasn't handled Bryce Huff the right way. I asked Bryce today if he's playing the role he expected. He said he wasn't expecting a role, but let's be real. Like, I don't think Bryce Huff signed with a team without envisioning what his role is. And I don't think they were like, yeah, you're going to be learning how to drop back and play all these things. So it just doesn't seem like the Bryce Huff experience is going well because he's not playing well. But I also truly don't think they're managing him well. I feel like they have done him a disservice by, you know, yanking him on and off the field, not putting him out. Like, they're not just letting him do what he's great at. And I think they're putting too much on his plate. So that's what Vic had to say. Bryce Huff talked in the locker room and, you know, he said, you know, I have to be better. I have to work up on my different pass rush moves, all those things. But I think it's pretty clear they put a lot on his plate and it's not going well. So the other quote I wanted to play for you, two quotes, Kellen Moore on passing the ball on third down instead of running it. Here's what he had to say.
Obviously, the decision factors on that play, a big moment in the game. Ran the first two plays, obviously felt like we were gaining a few yards. Second down play, they had a lot in the box. There was a lot of people in there. Saquon was able to avoid a few of them and get a couple yards out of it, but felt like we had a play that was set up that had a potential opportunity to finish the game off. Obviously, there's risk associated with that play, like any play. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out the way we had hoped, but you know, those are situations where we're constantly having conversations about, talking about how best to handle those situations, and you know, felt like obviously you know, we missed the opportunity.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I understand that when you call a play, you want it to be based off what the defense is doing. You want to attack the weak part of the defense. But in this instance, why is it just because they're stacking the box, you're not going to run it? You have a huge defensive line. You have Saquon Barkley. Like, go ask your players to make a play, especially when the clock matters. If this was the first quarter or the second quarter, then yeah, like, throw it to the outside because they're stacking the box and everyone's in the middle. But that's not the case. You could not risk the ball being incomplete and the clock stopping. So I don't like that. And there's been a few times where they've done this, where it feels like they let the defense dictate what they're doing. And I know there is logic to that, but you're the team with the great players. You're the teams that you should trust to go out and make big plays. So didn't love the logic on that. Kellen Moore also talked about the Jalen Hurts interception, and here's what he had to say.
The interceptions, you know, those are challenging moments. And so, you know, we took a chance, obviously, with that opportunity, and didn't turn out. Obviously, a few seconds, you know, we're below the 30-second threshold. We have a timeout. You know, those are big moments where we were close. Felt like he gave Smitty a chance, and thought the safety made an incredible play, being a post safety and playing over the top of a single receiver. I thought he made an incredible play, and unfortunate for us.
So my only real takeaway from this one is, I'm not saying he has to rip him at the podium, but saying that was an okay throw and he's trying to give a guy a chance to make a play, I don't know. Like, I know Jalen took blame for it and I think that's good. And again, I don't think it's smart to, like, rip a guy up at the podium. But I do hope behind the scenes that they're saying to Jalen, that's not a throw you can make. Because we've seen in all sports, when you have a star player that no one's willing to question or coach hard, it's not good for his game. So I do hope that behind the scenes, Kellen is saying to Jalen, that's absolutely not a throw you can make. Because in some ways it costs the team the game. So, speaking of costing the team the game, the Eagles desperately need a win on Sunday. Got to get off this one game losing streak, which sounds silly to say, but if they drop to 1-2, you know, then go to Tampa, that's going to be pretty tough. So on the other side, we're going to talk about the Eagles offensive line versus the Saints defensive line. All right, so let's talk about a key matchup in this game. Yesterday, we talked about the Saints offensive line versus the Eagles defensive line, and I don't think the Eagles defensive line had the edge there. Even against the Saints offensive line that has some questions, I don't think you can give the Eagles defensive line the edge over anybody right now. But the Eagles offensive line versus Saints defensive line is a matchup that I think they could win. So first, let's take a look at the personnel on the Saints defensive line. Their best edge rusher is Carl Granderson. He was 32nd in hurries last year, 8.5 sacks last year. They also have Chase Young and Cameron Jordan. Cameron Jordan, obviously, deep into his career. Chase Young just signed with the team. And they've both been okay. Like I said, Carl Granderson was not like a premier edge rusher last year. 8.5 sacks, nothing to sneeze at. But he is not like a top five-ish guy that you really have to worry about. I think if the Eagles tackles, Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata, play their game, they should be able to handle Carl Granderson, Chase Young, and Cameron Jordan. Not that they're not good players, but this is why you have great tackles. Like when the, you know, if you're going up against TJ Watt, then yeah, then you say this is going to be a tough matchup. But you pay Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson to win those matchups, and I think they are winnable matchups. So on the edge, I think the Eagles tackles do have the advantage. What'll be interesting to see is the defensive tackles against the interior of the Eagles offensive line. So defensive tackle, the Saints lineup, Brian Breeze was a rookie last year, 4.5 sacks, and then Nathan Shepard, not much of a pass rusher, and they don't have much pass rushing depth behind them. So Brian Breeze, look, I think he is a guy that with 4.5 sacks as a rookie from a defensive tackle spot, that's not nothing. That is an admirable amount of sacks. Eagles would kill for Jordan Davis to get 4.5 sacks. So it is, you know, a matchup worth watching for the Eagles. But again, I think with how Mekhi Becton has played, how Cam Jurgens has played, and Landon Dickerson, one of the best guards in the league, it's not a duo that should worry the Eagles. They should be able to handle this. So overall, the Saints just don't have a defensive line that I think should worry the Eagles. I think they should be able to handle this defensive line, and I think they should be able to give Jalen a clean pocket to work with. The other component I'll add to this is linebackers Mario Davis, 6.5 sacks each of the last 2 years. He's someone that gets after the quarterback. They like to send him in blitzes, but Jalen's been good against the blitz this year. So DeMario Davis is certainly something the Eagles offensive line is going to have to be aware of pre-snap, identify where he is, what they think he's doing, because he can cause issues. But if they do a good job against the blitz, I think Jalen should have time in the pocket. So if you want to envision a world where the Eagles win this game, it's Jalen has time in the pocket, he puts up a lot of points, and the defense makes enough play to win the game. But unlike yesterday when I thought the Eagles' defensive line didn't have the matchup advantage, I do think the Eagles' offensive line has the matchup advantage, which is good news, because if you can keep the quarterback clean, it always increases your chances of winning the game. So thank you to everybody that has listened. As always, we love you. We love that you listen. We love talking about the Eagles with you guys. We will be Go Birds Radio Saturday, 1 to 3. Make sure you call in. Need all the real ones to call in, but especially if you haven't called in. Would be fun to hear from a first-timer. So, as we always say to end this pod, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.